Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. Later in the program, of course, Robert Knott will be with us because Friday is the day that Robert Knott comes in and speaks about the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Ralph Arlick. He is a filmmaker. His film is called Following Sean. It screens at the CCA tonight and tomorrow, and Sunday, actually. And we're going to be giving away tickets to anybody who donates, the donation of $35, to our fund drive. 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. Welcome, Ralph.
Hi, thanks. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Before we start talking about the film, I want to just talk to our listeners for a few minutes about public radio. Many of you have already donated. It's extraordinary. It's really amazing how well we've done so far on this fund drive. But we're still only about halfway there. I was talking to somebody last night who said, oh, I like to donate at the end. I said, what do you mean, you want to be the last person? He said, yeah, I like to be the last person. I said, you know, everybody wants to be either the first person or the last person, and guess what? Just mathematically, it doesn't work that way.
This is someone who grew up on eBay, obviously. You like to squeeze in at the last minute. There's a term for it. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. This is somebody who is a PhD scientist, and so with a knowledge of mathematics. Yeah. But anyway, this is the time for you people in the middle of the bell-shaped curve to call 428-1393 and make a contribution to public radio. For those of you who haven't been listening this week and who have never perhaps been so familiar with public radio fund drives, here's the deal. The listeners to this station pay for about half of the operating expenses, somewhere in that vicinity. And that means basically telephone, lights, CD players, CDs, blanks, salaries for our very, very hardworking and underpaid engineers, and just the basics of keeping a radio station going. If you make your $5 or $10 contribution, it's going to actually go toward things that you need and things that are obviously necessary for the running of the station. It is not going to go to fancy hotel rooms in distant conference sites. It's not going to go toward paid vacations in this or that location. It is just the basics of running a radio station. Giving to KSFR and giving right now is the right thing to do. 428-1393 is the number to call. You make a pledge. We have wonderful operators, wonderful volunteers in the phone room today and actually every day standing by to take your pledge. 428-1393. And we're going to talk about this documentary now called Following Sean. And if you want to just take a leap of faith that this documentary is something you want to see, call right now, 428-1393. I'd like to get 25 callers within this hour. That's a call every 2 minutes or so. And if you want to wait just a couple of minutes and hear what the film is about, you know, that's okay, too. But call within this hour, 428-1393.
I'm going to be able to put on my resume that I sold $35 tickets to my movie.
That's right.
Be the first independent who's ever been able to do that, I'm sure.
Well, it's a pair. It's a pair of tickets.
Okay.
So $17.50 tickets. It's true, ladies and gentlemen. But let's talk about your film. It's called Following Sean. Very interesting premise of this film. You, when you were a young film student in California, during the absolute peak of the Haight-Ashbury 60s, made a film about a boy named Sean whose parents were, what, I guess basically you'd call them hippies.
I try not to call them hippies because it's sort of a media word, and very few people would describe themselves as a hippie. It's kind of it's a term that the media uses to designate a certain category. It's an easy description. Let's call them countercultural, but I think most people would have regarded them as hippies.
What were their lives like, and how did you choose their son to make a little film about?
Well, they were it was a group of people living on the third floor. It was right in the heart of the Haight-Ashbury, and I was living on the first floor, and there was this basically a crash pad up on the third floor, a wild crash pad where people were coming and going all the time. The center of it were a couple called Johnny and Susie, and they had three kids. And, you know, it was just, you just could hardly keep track of who was there and who was not there, families, half families. I mean, people would come and go. But, you know, it wasn't, it wasn't a drug den. I mean, you know, they were just living normal, countercultural lives. In fact, Sean says at one point in the film, to me, you know, look, we were just the normal, happy family. You know, it didn't seem weird to him. That's what he grew up with. So, but to the media, they were really, I guess, wild hippies or something, you know. Anyway, but it was quite a scene up on the third floor, and it was, you know, Sean would come downstairs every once in a while, and he was just a wonderful kid. He was just terrific. And at some point, you know, I was a student at San Francisco State at the time. I was a film student, and I needed a subject for a movie, and I thought this would be a great one.
And I mean, I think as you said in the movie, there are a few things that Sean said during the little film you made about him that shocked a lot of people. I mean, he was a very sophisticated kid. They didn't hide from him anything that was going on around him. So, you know, he referred to certain people as speed freaks, and he knew what that meant. And you said, how could he tell when somebody was a speed freak? And he said, because they're just so thin, or something like that.
Right.
And he not only smoked pot, but ate pot.
Yeah, or claimed to do both.
Claimed to do both. Yeah, we don't know for sure. And that was sort of the big thing that freaked everybody out who saw the film.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm glad you used the term that nothing was hidden from him, because I think that's the key. It's not, you know, it's not that he was allowed to run wild or that he wasn't supervised at all, but it is the case that he was not sheltered. He was not kept from seeing things or doing things. So that was... you know, to me and to other people living in the hate, this was not shocking. You know, this, you know, according to our ethos at the time, this seemed like the way you would normally raise a kid. But I guess to the society at large, it still seemed a little bizarre.
And then you moved on. And it's interesting to see the film because it is as much about you as it is about Sean, whom you then pick up when he's a little older, when he's about 30 or 31 years old. But it's a very reflective film in which you think about your own position in the 60s, in the Haight-Ashbury, where you were, I think, as you put it, really more of an observer than a participant.
Yeah. Yeah, I really was. And, I mean, I think, you know, I think that's the way most of us come up against most of the major historical changes in our lives. Most of us are not major actors when various cataclysmic events, and this was, even though it was cultural, I think it was a cultural cataclysmic event, most of us don't jump in with both feet. Most of us, to some degree, watch, observe, we take it in. And, you know, what was so fascinating for me about this family is that they were, in almost every generation, major actors. Sean's grandparents were very important Bay Area communists and were deeply involved in what was going on during the McCarthy period and even earlier. And then Johnny and Susie, you know, they were not the leaders. They were not Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman, but they were, you know, they were doing the counterculture, really, the way, you know, the way it was being depicted. Whereas I wasn't then, most people weren't, and I think that's the way most of us experience history as observers. So I was, as the film wore on and as it began to take shape, that was one of the things that I was interested in, sort of actors and observers and the differences in that.
Well, and a filmmaker is the classic observer, and that's right. When you were beginning to figure out that you were going to be a filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah. So the filmmakers are observers to the nines.
And so this film, I guess, it came out, what, that 1968 or 69, the original film, Sean?
69, 70 was when it began to be in festivals and stuff.
And it was in festivals. It won awards. You have a signed letter from Truffaut.
Yeah.
Talking about your film. And then you moved to upstate New York, in fact, to the town where I was born, Poughkeepsie, New York.
We just discovered this house.
We discovered that your house and mine were about 15 feet apart. Anyway, you moved there and then started living a more settled life, had children, raised a family.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, doesn't it?
I think it's...
Come and see a movie about a filmmaker who leads a bourgeois life in suburban New York.
I mean, it raises the question of what is the value of ordinary life. And this is something you raise yourself, that you were more interested in, you know, watching your son throw a ball than some of the great gigantic events of our time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's, you know, most of us, you know, maybe at some points we do feel like we're really participating in something important, but life goes on. You make choices. You know, are you going to give yourself completely and utterly to the movement for the rest of your life, or is it going to be some kind of a mixture? And we all make decisions, and once a family comes in, that implies certain sacrifices, certain decisions that probably have to be made. And this is something that Sean confronts, and I think that's one of the interesting things about the film, is how he feels about questions about family responsibility as opposed to individual personal freedom. I mean, we all negotiate these things all the time. You know, we all want this kind of freedom to do the kind of work we want to do and be paid enormous sums of money for it and do exciting things. And
as all documentary filmmakers are.
Right, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the film is called Following Sean. It screens at the CCA tonight. Ralph Arlick, who we're talking to right now, will actually be there. It's at 6:30. There's film screening and question and answer with the director. And also tomorrow at 2:30 and Sunday at 2:30 as well. If you would like a pair of tickets to this, you can go. But better yet, oh, far better, is to call now, 428-1393, 428-1393. Tell our friendly phone volunteers that you would like a pair of tickets to Following Sean, and we'll be in business. 428-1393.
You know, I have to say, I live in an area where we get two public radio stations, and then we have to make a decision, or then we have to really plunge our consciences. Are we going to support both of them? You know, and they have to figure out, how much do I listen to one? How much do I listen to Albany, or how much do I listen to New York City?
That's right, state capital or New York or the Big Apple. Well, we have a couple of radio stations, public radio stations here as well, and many people give to both, and we support and encourage that because the two stations are both doing great things. And but right now we're here to talk about this one. 428-1393 is the number at KSFR. So what made you start to think about the little boy Sean and what he must have turned into? Did you have trouble finding him? Had you been in touch with him all those years?
I had kept in touch with the grandmother that I alluded to. Her name is Hun Brown, and she and her husband Archie, as I said, were major San Francisco communists.
And they're great characters. They're in the film as well.
Yeah. And Hun is also remarkable because, I mean, here's someone who really, in an incredibly efficient and motherly way, manages to be both a flaming radical and the sort of center post of the whole family. I mean, she's at some point you wonder whether she's Emma Goldman or Molly Goldberg. You know, she sort of combines. She manages to do it all. She's super archetypal figure. And she really kept that family together. And she's the one that I went to try to find where everybody was. Because she would be the place, her house would be the place where if kids were, you know, divorced or had drug problems or anything, kids, grandkids, they would always come back to Hun, and she would take care of them. She kept track of every family member. So she's really the hub.
And so through her you found Sean?
Everybody. Through her I found everybody. She knows where everybody is scattered across Northern California.
Now, was it your intention to make a follow-up that was specifically about Sean, or did you really want to do a documentary about that whole family?
Well, Sean obviously had to be the center of it since he was the sole figure. When I made the original 14-minute black and white film, it was just about him. It was just a portrait of him. So that was the jumping off point. But I always knew, and I didn't deal with the whole family in that original movie, but I always knew that the family was a terrifically interesting family. And what I didn't know, or I didn't completely appreciate in what became apparent in the film as I was making it, is how much Sean's father, Johnny, embodied the values of the 60s. Because Johnny really, he really went whole hog. I mean, he really believes in absolute freedom. For him, the 60s was the most important moment of his life. It changed his life dramatically. And he lives it up to the hilt to this day. So he became extremely important to the film because he's the one that fosters and embodies those 60s values.
And he's also really, as a character, he's somebody who I think for audiences can serve as a mirror. Like, do you want to be somebody who embodies the values of the 60s? How does one feel about that character? I was watching the film with a friend yesterday, and we had a conversation about that. Do we like him? Do we not like him?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, no, I actually don't want to tell you because I want to leave that for the viewers who see the film. But,
good. You
know, there was a kind of freedom in the 60s, which is why I think it's such an attractive decade. There was this sense of, you know, creating the world anew and bringing a freshness that seemed to have never existed before, which, of course, is nonsense. But, you know, that was the feeling, and a lot of people had it. And then the 60s end, and people either move on or they stay in that set of ideas. Yeah. And can you stay in a set of ideas once the time has passed on? You know, your film brings up a lot of these questions.
Yeah, well, I think one of the central questions that the film asks is, and it's clear that Johnny has stayed true to those ideas, and then the question becomes, does that affect other people? And that's one of the things that Sean feels very strongly about. You know, he feels it does. And Johnny feels it doesn't. Johnny feels everyone is responsible for his own life and has to live his own life according to his own values. So that's one of the major questions that the film raises, is can you just do that in a vacuum? Or is it like there are satellite implications of you living an absolutely free life?
Exactly. And then you find this boy, Sean, and it was sort of suspenseful for me to have this image of this beautiful four-year-old in my mind and then wonder what he's going to become, and you sort of think he might just be some hideous overgrown. But he's a very attractive, well-spoken, sarcastic, well, I guess, would you say, dry-witted young man.
Exactly. I think that's a perfect description. Yeah, that's really good. Look, I'm going to write that down and use that in my blurbs from now on.
and then you follow his life, and you find him before, you know, while he's single, and during the course of the film, he gets married and has kids and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. How did he feel about being filmed, about being the subject of your film once again?
He, it's wonderful because he's the ideal film subject because he basically doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care about how he looks, how he's going to come off. He had no agenda for the film at all. His attitude was, you want to do it? Fine. You know, and it was that way originally. You know, he was a 4 year old, and his parents were wondering, Jesus, is he going to get a swelled head from this? You know, this film is being shown all around the country. He didn't care. You know, the film would be shown once in a while in the family, and he would wander through the room and say, oh yeah, it's interesting. And he's still like that as an adult. He just did not worry about how he's going to look to the world. And that's basically true of the entire family. They're just not a family that worries. From the grandparents right on down to Sean, they don't worry about what they're going to look like. And so, and he likes the film.
He likes the way it came out. Well, this is, another question that I was thinking about while watching it was, so you find this person, he's about 30 years old, you start following his life. How do you know when to stop and when to actually edit the thing, make the film, and put it out there?
Aha, good question. Like my father says, constantly said to me, Ralphie, will there ever be an end to this? You know, when are you going to finish the thing?
And will I live to see it? I mean, your own parents are in it, and we see them now in their 90s at the end of the film. How did you decide?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a way. In a way, your question implies two questions, which is, one is, how are you going to end the movie? How do you know that you have an ending for the movie? And that I won't say too much about, but things do come full circle in some way. And we'll let people see that when they see the film. The other thing is just every filmmaker's problem is, when are you going to stop editing and get the thing out there? And what usually happens is you have a deadline that you really need to meet. Either a funder is screaming and saying, you know, you got to finish this thing, or there's a festival that you want to enter. So there's some deus ex machina that comes in and says, that's enough. Yes, you could make it a little bit better. You could tweak this. You could do that. But basta, enough, finish it. So I think that there was a combination of things, and I just decided that was enough.
Following Sean is the name of the film. It screens Friday tonight at 6:30 and then Saturday and Sunday at 2:30. And you can go to any one of those screenings, ladies and gentlemen, if you call right now and give a contribution. 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393, and make a contribution to KSFR. Lots of people have contributed so far, and lots of people are still not yet on board. If you are not yet on board, and especially if you've never given a contribution to public radio before or to KSFR before, we especially welcome you into the KSFR family. Report from the control room.
Yes, Mary Charlotte, we have a couple of people to thank. I'd like to thank Trace Cliffus.
Thank you, Trace.
Thank you. And then I'd like to thank Anonymous.
Ah, Anonymous, yes.
And Anonymous says that he is a huge fan of the Radio Cafe, and he's already given, but he would like to offer a challenge for the Radio Cafe that if we can make $300 by 9 o'clock, he will double our money.
Yay! That happens a lot, and I love it, because it's a challenge that's real. I mean, somebody has actually put up some money, and if you, ladies and gentlemen, call, that means every dollar you give is worth $2, because somebody else is generously giving.
Yeah, it really helps us out here to have those challenge matches.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. Ralph Arlick, you have been involved with documentary filmmaking besides this film, all sorts of films. That's your career, that's your life. You work with PBS?
Yeah. No, I never worked for PBS, but I have made films that have been on PBS. You know, I would like to say that I think this is a terrific place to hold an interview, and what I like about
it's
is
just the croissant.
No. I'll tell you what I like about it, because it has to do with being an independent filmmaker, is that I grew up in a tradition called, you know, cinema verite or direct cinema, where these were basically the first people who would go out on location, and what was important for them was to have real sounds. Whereas traditional schools of filmmaking would say, oh, no, are you crazy? You can't do this. You'll have ambient sounds. People will be clattering plates. You can't do that. You got to have a controlled studio, kind of very quiet environment.
And now we have the dogma, which is the same thing.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just great that you're willing to come out here and risk all kinds of audio havoc and conduct the show. But that's always the way I've made films. I've always tried to get directional mics and go out in real situations, and to hell with if the ambient sounds are going to threaten to overwhelm us. I think it gives the fabric of real life.
Speaking of the of things like that, I wanted to say one more thing about the film, which I really enjoyed, which was the texture and colors of the old film footage in the film. The old sort of grainy black and white, the type of color film, which has a certain, I'm not sure what it's called, but it has a certain quality to it where you know that footage is from the 60s and 70s.
I think it's called badly deteriorated. No, I'll tell you.
I thought it was Technicolor or something.
No, well, I'll tell you one thing is, one thing in way in which I was extremely fortunate. I was so lucky that the original film, the original 14-minute film, was in black and white, because that stands up beautifully. I mean, nothing stands up like black and white.
That's so true.
And most filmmakers have the experience, as I did, of having made subsequent films through the 80s, that just deteriorated terribly. Color film just has to be held in absolute ideal conditions, and many independents just don't have the means to put their films in vaults or keep them in freezers, and consequently their old footage looks like crap. Then beyond that, I was also able to find a lot of archival footage, and the best footage I found was from, oddly enough, not from the big stock houses, but from other filmmakers.
I can imagine.
Filmmakers who were making films in the 60s.
Yeah.
That was really the best material that I was able to find, which I used to sort of fill in for things that I myself didn't have. Because basically all I had was the original movie, and I didn't have anything from Sean's teenage years. There was nothing to sort of fill in that period of, you know, the 80s as he was growing up.
Now, we're going to have to go in just a moment, but I just wanted to ask you if you had any reasons that you would like to give why people should call right now and contribute to public radio.
Oh, good heavens. Well, I'm I'm really sincere when I say this, is that I'm a huge radio fan. I mean, it's almost an addiction, a public radio fan. And I just, I truthfully listen to it all the time. And when I don't, you know, when I don't actually hear a program live, I often do podcasts and stuff. And, you know, people may think that I'm an effete Easterner, but I live in Poughkeepsie, which is not the cultural center of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you for sure that Poughkeepsie is not the effete East.
Yeah, in fact, it's the butt of jokes. It's kind of like the Dubuque of the East.
We called it the city where urban renewal failed.
Yeah, Gene Hackman asks, people are still picking their feet in Poughkeepsie.
Right.
We tend to be the butt of jokes. It's a great place to live, but you know, to keep up on what's going on, you can't just rely purely on the New York Times. Both those public radio stations where we live are absolutely essential to us.
428-1393 is the number, and only until the end of this hour can you get your tickets for following Sean through this contribution. So 428-1393. Ralph Arlick, thank you so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
And we are going to take a little break right now to hear from some of our beloved underwriters, which is one of the other main ways that we fund this station. But we need you. 428-1393. Give a call now. And we'll be back in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books, located at 376 Garcia Street, where Santa Fe author Lynn Stegner will launch her newest novel, Because a Fire Was in My Head, on Friday, March 30th at 5 o'clock. And on Saturday, March 31st, from 1 to 3 o'clock, Diane Pardue, author of Shared Images, and Native American jewelry artists Yazzie Johnson and Gail Bird will sign copies as well as exhibit jewelry. More information at 986-0151 or garciastreetbooks.com.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Marshall, and on behalf of the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, I'd like to invite you to Living Artists of Distinction, Sherry Levine Abstraction, through May 13th. Levine, one of this country's most prominent artists, is noted for pieces that she's been making since the early 1980s that derive from and reinterpret immediately recognizable works of earlier, well-known artists. The sculpture, paintings, and prints in the exhibit explore the issues of abstraction from the art of Georgia O'Keeffe and Alfred Stieglitz, for whom abstraction was a central concern. Join us for this exciting exhibit, Living Artists of Distinction, Sherry Levine Abstraction, through May 13th. For more information on the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, please visit our website at o'keeffemuseum.org or call us at 505-946-1000.
KSFR programming is underwritten by Locals Care. Locals Care community cards reward you for shopping and dining at over 100 locally owned businesses. You can support a Santa Fe nonprofit and earn rewards for yourself at any Locals Care business. Find program information and a current list of participating businesses and nonprofits at locals-care.com. Offered in cooperation with the Santa Fe Alliance and sponsored by Century Bank, Los Alamos National Bank, the New Mexican, and the City of Santa Fe.
You are listening to KSFR 90.7 FM in Santa Fe, and we are in our fun drive right now. And do we have a report from the control room by any chance?
Well, Mary Charlotte, the phones have been ringing a little bit. I'm going to go in there and see what's going on. I know we have some people to thank, but...
But their names aren't there yet.
Aren't here yet.
Let us make the list so very, very long that Laurel just trips over it because there are so many names. 428-1393, you can get the tickets to Following Sean. You can also get any of the other wonderful KSFR premiums like the jacket, the backpack. I was actually at dinner last night with some friends who were debating whether it would be better to have the jacket or the backpack. And, of course, the KSFR hat and all sorts of other good things that you can ask for when you get on the phone at 428-1393. It is the most unintimidating, friendly experience to make this call because they're really nice people over there. And speaking of nice people, Robert Knott is here. Associate editor of the Pasatiempo, speaking of stumbling over my words, Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he is here today and every Friday, just about, speaking of the arts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful morning.
It's a beautiful... Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, we're in an upbeat mood this morning, huh? You look gorgeous in blue. That's a great color for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, everybody can see that on the radio.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm trying to rectify the situation by mentioning it. I know everybody can't see us, but before I was listening to your interview with Ralph, and that is a good movie, I urge everybody to go see it at the CCA.
It's interesting. I mean, it has the quality. I forgot to say this when we were on the air with him, but it has a little bit of the quality of those 7-Up, 28-Up, 49-Up movies.
Right.
Actually screened here recently, 49 Up. That film follows people over the course of 42 years and continues to follow them. And this movie follows one person and actually more, I mean, his family and himself. So it's quite interesting.
Good. What do we need to talk about?
The arts and other related stuff.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Let's go.
Shared Images, the innovative jewelry of Yazzie Johnson and Gail Bird. This ties in with a Santa Fe book launch and a reception from 1 to 3 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, at Garcia Street Books, 376 Garcia Street, right next to Downtown Subscription. So swing by there and see Yazzie and Gail at the Garcia Street Books.
Man, there you go.
It's loud here at the Santa Fe Baking Company this morning. It's packed.
That's because there's people here.
I understand that. I was about to get to that point when you... preempted my comments about it. Okay, what else do I need to talk about here?
Oh, what else is happening?
Well, there's a lot of visual arts openings tonight. You want to hear about them?
Sure.
The Honeymoon Is Not Over, AD Collective's one-year anniversary, is a group show of works on paper, and the reception is 6 to 9 p.m. tonight, and they are at 916 Baca Street. The show runs through mid-April. Meanwhile, the Box Gallery has graphite drawings and sculpture by Bruce Wallen. Reception's 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Box is over in the rail yard at 1611A Paseo de Peralta, right by the railroad tracks. Here's a great title for a show. Marriage of Heaven and Earth. New work by Barbara Carter. That's at Artistas de Santa Fe on Old Santa Fe Trail. Polaroid Transfer Composites. The reception's 5 p.m. tonight. It runs through April 10th. And I have to mention the College of Santa Fe Fine Arts Gallery has Split Second, which is a student show of student work, which makes sense because it's a student show at the College of Santa Fe. And it's 1600 St. Michael's Drive, and the reception is 5 to 7 p.m. And the Governor's Gallery has an interesting show. I was over there the other day talking to somebody and was watching them mount it. Futures for Children, photos by Debbie Fleming Caffrey and Kim Ashley. So the reception's 4 to 6 p.m., and it's always fun to go to the fourth floor of the State Roundhouse over on Paseo de Peralta and Old Santa Fe Trail. Yeah, that's where it is, to see the shows that open there on Friday afternoons, 4 o'clock. Show runs through June 10th.
Report from the control room.
Yes, we have many people to thank, thankfully.
Yay.
Eileen Banaszek, thank you.
We are thankfully thanking.
Come on, Eileen.
Woohoo. Oh. Raymond Joggerst.
Raymond, yay.
Thanks. Jim Coranta, thank you.
Jim, thank you.
Karen Rowell, thanks.
Karen.
Bill Barrett called.
Bill Barrett, thank you.
Elizabeth Bird called and made a pledge.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Ralph called and says, oh no, excuse me, Jean Fleming called and with the message, hello to Ralph from Santa Fe Friends.
Well, we hope that you are in your car, Ralph, listening.
And, you know, we're about two-thirds of the way to our challenge of $300 by the 9 o'clock hour. And so hopefully, with a little more help, we'll be there soon.
With a $100 pledge, we'll be there right now, 428-1393. And let's exceed that challenge, 428-1393. Robert Nutt, have you mentioned the show Set Subset that is running from yesterday through the 25th of April at the Santa Fe Community College Gallery?
No, keep going.
Well, that's about all I know about it. They said that they were attaching a press release, but it's not there. So
people do that a lot with emails. They don't send attachments. And they expect us to be attached to the emails. But keep sending them, and we always do our best to get your listings on the air.
If anybody is a publicist and they're listening right now, don't even send attachments. Just send the whole information in the body,
in the body of
the email.
Of the email.
Oh, yep. My God, it makes your life so much easier.
It does. Really, that's a great idea. Classically music speaking, tonight at the Great Hall of the Peterson Student Center at St. John's College up on Camino Cruz Blanca, there is a concert of art songs. And that's Clinton Barrick and Carl Dent teaming up to do the music of Schumann. I wonder what an art song is. What do you make of that?
I'm not sure. I was wondering the same thing myself.
Is it like, you know, bringing Picasso to life through music?
I doubt it, but you never know.
Huh. I wonder how Schumann pulled that off. Meanwhile, the Dulcie String Quartet.
Well, since Schumann preceded Picasso by a significant period of time, I don't think he was going to have done that.
I know. Not only did he precede him, but it was like 100 years before.
That's what I'm saying.
The Dulcie String Quartet is performing the music of Shostakovich. That guy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Santa Fe Flute Choir performs music of Bach and Vivaldi, and I like those names better. This is the music on Barcelona's Soris Musicales program, 5:30 p.m. tonight, at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, 107 West Barcelona Road. And I can say on the air it is by donation. And I have to mention the cover story in today's Pasatiempo because I wrote it.
Yay!
Moving People Dance Theater is presenting the Moving People 2 student dancers in a performance of classic and contemporary works that is called Louder Than Words. 7:30 p.m. tonight, 13 works by 8 choreographers featuring roughly 70 students. I saw a pretty good rehearsal just over a week ago, and they were looking terrific. I think it's going to be a great program. 7:30 p.m. tonight, 7:30 p.m. Saturday. I think they have a Sunday matinee, and I may be wrong about that. Call 438-9180, but better yet, read the story in today's Pasatiempo.
And there's, backing up to art openings, there's an art show called Marriage of Heaven and Earth, and that is basically landscapes, Polaroid transfer composites, including some panoramic landscapes of Tuscany. And that's at Artistas de Santa Fe at 228B Old Santa Fe Trail. The reception is today from 5 to 7.
That's pretty good. I mentioned that 10 minutes ago.
You did?
Yes.
Oh.
That's all right.
I screwed up.
I like it when women don't listen to men because they always accuse us of the same thing.
Well, this is true. Sometimes.
Which part is true?
Both parts.
Okay.
You're right. I'm wrong. Go ahead.
I never heard that on the show. We're going on 2.5 years. That's the first time I have heard that. You must be really infused with that milk of human kindness that we started to drink around New Year's.
Milk.
What?
Milk.
Yes, milk.
That's the name of my dog, one of my three dogs.
There we go again. Milk, and honey is the name of another one.
That's true.
The flamenco performer Julia Chacon is teaming up with vocalist Megan Chandler, as well as guitarist Ricardo Anglada and dancer Jesus Munoz at 6 p.m. tonight for Knights of Sevilla. This is at the Silver Starlight Lounge at the Rainbow Vision Santa Fe Complex, 500 Rodeo Road. Got to pay to get in. You can pay even more to get they call this a price fixed dinner, but they spell it P-R-I-X-F-I-X-E. Is that how it's pronounced?
It's probably pronounced in a French kind of way. Like, Plie fixe or something like that.
It's not prefix though, right?
No.
Okay. Call 428-7781 for information. Theater-wise, there's a couple of shows. Glengarry Glen Ross finishes out its three-week run at the Santa Fe Playhouse through this weekend, 988-4262. They are at 142 DeVargas Street. And Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the infamous John Cameron Mitchell, Stephen Trask musical about gender-bending characters, rock opera, is going to play at the Weckerser Studio Theater tonight at the College of Santa Fe campus. It's at 8 p.m. It's pretty cheap to get in, 473-6511. And we can't mention prices on the KSFR 90.7 FM community radio station, but when I say it's pretty cheap, it's usually like less than like the number of fingers on one hand if each one equated to a dollar.
Community radio is what it's all about right now. 428-1393 is the number. And there are some people who tune in every week just to hear you and me.
I know. And how many tune out, I wonder?
Oh, just a few.
And Mary Charlotte.
Richard,
I just had to come in for a minute because to say hello to Robert, too.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Robert. Yes, we do tune in to listen to this every single Friday. Got a few people to thank, so I'm going to thank them right now.
Yay.
And then I'm not going to come on again, but I just couldn't resist saying hi. Janet Eigner, we want to thank Janet
thank you very much.
I don't know if we did thank Bill Barrett already,
but we'll thank him again.
Gloria Ruiz just called.
Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you, Gloria. And Daniel Kinderlehrer. Daniel, thanks so very much.
That means teacher of children.
That's right. I figured that one out, too. So I'm beginning to sound like Robert Knott, you know. Anyway.
Richard Block, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. We'll talk to you later.
And 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. And you can still get a pair of tickets to Following Sean for any time over the next 3 days. And you can just simply call for the pleasure of supporting this show and supporting this station.
That's pretty cool.
And supporting the presence of the glorious Robert Knott.
I didn't bring you no presents. The stores were all closed this early in the morning.
Ah, it's a different spelling. Homonym.
Bill Barrett got thanked twice. Remember that song? Won't you come home, Bill Barrett? Won't you come home? That was a good one. I haven't done Dean Martin in like 3 weeks, so we're going to do some more later today. And as a fun drive thing, if you don't want me to sing, call in and give money. Hey, here's something for you.
You better give a lot, because it would take a lot for Robert not to sing.
To not sing. Poetry jam reading. I love those. New Mexico Culture Knits presenting the paired readings. Paired, P-A-I-R-E-D, and it's not like that fruit that you always get stuck in the cocktail, the fruit cocktail your mom makes you. Paired readings by area high school students with mentor poets. 7 p.m. tonight, Tipton Hall, College of Santa Fe. There's a lot happening on that campus these days.
Indeed.
1600 St. Michael's Drive. Also tonight, there's a book signing at Garcia Street Books, and that's Lynn Stegner.
Yes.
She has a new book called Because a Fire Was in My Head. Did you interview her?
No, but we're going to. We are going to. I haven't read the book yet, so we're going to do it in a few weeks.
Yeah, because you always prepare. You're very well prepared. The only thing you're not prepared for is me.
Is you.
I know.
I'm not prepared for you.
You never is.
I never is.
Meanwhile, Round Mountain CD release party. Do you know much about Round Mountain?
Yeah, I've heard them.
Well, they're doing a live performance tonight with guest dancers and musicians. I like when people say that. Like guest dancers and musicians. You never know who it's going to be. I always wonder if it's going to be like the Marquis Chimps or something. Anyway, that's tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Armory for the Arts. 984-1370, CD release party and concert.
And Round Mountain is Char Rothschild, Robbie Rothschild, and John Gagan.
Yep. Music-wise, tonight Jerry Carthy is doing his Irish music at 6 p.m. at the Café Dominique. Radio La Chusma is doing Latin grooves at Evangelos at 9 p.m., small cover charge. I will mention La Casa Senate, a little dinner theater sort of place there on Palace. Tonight, the La Cantina Singers are going to do a musical review of The Producers, which is the Mel Brooks show everybody loves. These are sort of, what do you call it when they abbreviate it? An abbreviated, what do they call it with the Reader's Digest?
Abridged.
That's it. They're doing an abridged version. 5:30 and 8 p.m., no cover charge. And over at the La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda, where you can dance all night, the Hoodoos are playing from 8 to 11. And I will mention 100 Year Flood, alternative country and rock, opening tonight at 8 p.m. at Santa Fe Brewing Company. Call the Lentic, 988-1234.
And I don't know why you never mentioned these things, but Son Como Son, an 8-piece Cuban salsa band, is going to be at Salsa Cicion Restaurant at 2400 Cerrillos Road. And there's a free dance lesson taught by Rose Mata, who's a terrific dancer, and it's free with the cover charge, at 8:45, and then 9:30, the music begins.
I was about to. That was two away on next.
Oh,
on my
really?
List,
you were going to say
you.
It? Oh, but sometimes you don't say those things.
No, sometimes I don't. But there's also partner dancing tonight with blues music at 9 p.m. at Studio East on Camino del Monte Sol. So if you want to dance to the blues, Friday Night Blues, 920-0330. But you also have the option, as Mary Charlotte mentioned, of going to Salsa Cicion.
And Sherry Land just kindly brought us a check, and we want to thank Sherry. She's a wonderful, consistent contributor, and we really appreciate those people who give every fund drive because they listen to KSFR.
Yay.
Every fund drive. They listen to KSFR all year round.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Hey, Ron Romanofsky.
Oh,
Dadu.
Yeah. Dadu.
Are you going to announce? You going to talk about him?
He was starting. I'll cut in. It's Saturday night, right?
It's Saturday night tomorrow at 8 o'clock. It's a release party for Dadu's new CD, Pittsburgh to Paris, in the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision, and that's 500 Rodeo Road, and 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
I have 7 p.m., so one of us may be wrong, but just in case, here's the phone number: 428-7781. I think 8 o'clock makes more sense.
I don't know.
But that's great. When you said release party,
8:00.
I was wondering, like, did he just get out of county jail or something? But
CD
that
release.
Terrific.
See,
yes.
He is indeed.
Hey, the Santa Fe Artist Market is still going strong at Casa Solana Shopping Center.
Did we say that Dadu was an accordionist?
Well, he plays the accordion.
That's right.
Dadu.
Go ahead.
Dadu, run. 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock Saturday is the Casa Solana Shopping Center's Santa Fe Artist Market. No charge. Pop in and see them. Meanwhile, I have to mention that Santa Fe Pro Musica Young Artist Competition is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe. Craig Smith wrote about this in his Critical Ear column in today's Pasta Tempo. I mean, no offense by this, but I like young artists at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. When I work with the teenagers at Warehouse 21, trying to get them to show up for like a 1 o'clock rehearsal on Saturday is amazing. So show up at 10 o'clock Saturday and see if they beat you there. Meanwhile, the Santa Fe Woodwind Quintet is playing out at the El Dorado Community Center on Saturday. If you're out in El Dorado, 983-2479. What time? 7 p.m. And what about Alice's Wonderland? Do you know anything about this?
No.
Well, it's 6:30 p.m. Saturday
Tell
night.
Us more.
I'm coming to it. It's an annual fundraiser. Everybody's raising funds. For the New Mexico Children's Foundation, it includes live and silent auctions, a five-course dinner paired with Gruet Wines, G-R-U-E-T. That's pretty good. And live music by Solstice, 6:30 p.m. at La Fonda. If you want to pay, you got to pay a lot, but here's the phone number, 986-2043. It's for a good cause. A five-course dinner, what's that include?
Appetizer.
Uh-huh.
Main course.
What happened to the salad?
Salad.
Oh, you get that last?
Well, maybe soup somewhere in there. Dessert.
Oh, boy.
Nuts. I don't know.
What do you mean, nuts?
Soup to nuts.
That's what that means?
Yeah.
The nuts are last on the...
Right.
What kind of a dessert is that to have some nuts? I could go down to the store and get some cashews.
Listen, you're clearly not Italian. If you're Italian and you go to your family and there's a whole bunch of people there and after everything is over and you've eaten more food than you possibly imagined you could pack into one little stomach, when that's all done, there's a whole bunch of nuts and nutcrackers and you crack open the nuts and you eat them.
That's good to know. Okay. There's a Beethoven festival this weekend. There's always some festival. Every weekend somebody's having a birthday and they're usually some dead composer.
Beethoven.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
The Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra and Chorus is teaming up with pianist Anton Querti and conductor Stephen Smith at 4 p.m. at the Lenzic on Sunday. And if it's happening at the Lenzic, you should call...
988-1234.
Hooray!
Which is not to be confused with 428-1393, which is our pledge line number.
You should call to make a pledge.
That's right.
You should pledge allegiance to KSFR.
Hey, did you talk about the event at the Tin Star Saloon, the Handler McGee Project, and several friends?
No.
That's on Water Street, and I guess they've been doing this for a while, but their last one is tonight at from 5 to 8 in the evening. Handler McGee Project Jazz and Blues at the
tonight,
Tin Star Saloon.
Tonight.
Yes, and I lied.
Apart from the control, yeah, you did lie.
I lied.
Your block again?
That's all right.
I wanted to say thank you to Nancy.
We still love you just the way you are.
Thank you, Nancy, and I just wanted to remind folks that we have only one pair of tickets left for the film.
For Following Sean?
For Following Sean, just one pair left.
Well, snap them up.
Snap them up at 428-1393. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What time is it?
It's 8:55, and hey, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on Camp Love Wave, actor, comedian, and director Bob Saget will visit Camp Love Wave on the phone to help with the fun drive.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Ricky Lee Jones is playing at the Lenzic on Monday night, 7:30 p.m. If
really?
You remember. Yeah, remember Chuck E's in Love?
I do.
That was a great song.
That was that back in the day.
I know. And also Monday morning, if you want to get up early, you can have breakfast with O'Keefe, even though she's dead. Basically, it's a gallery talk with arts educator Sue Sturdivant. Hey, Sue, hope you're doing well. And you get a light meal. You get like a light breakfast and there's a chat. I think that's terrific. 8:30 a.m. Monday, Georgia O'Keeffe Museum on Johnson Street. Phone number 946-1000. And again, pretty cheap to take that in.
Hey, get this. At Tropic of Capricorn, which you can find at tropicofcapricornsantafe.com, tomorrow from 11 to 2 in the morning, Introduction to Raptors. Learn about local birds of prey and see them up close from the folks at the Santa Fe Raptor Center.
I don't like
they
when
care for orphaned raptors, songbirds, and waterfowl. That sounds interesting.
That's great. When you said raptors, I thought of those Steven Spielberg dinosaurs from Jurassic Park.
Mm.
And sometimes my dog gives me a look like he's a raptor, and he looks like he's either going to eat
that's,
me or...
That's rapt attention.
Like they wrapped you on your knuckles. Peking Acrobats, Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at the Lenzic.
What are they peeking at?
This is great. This is a total reversal of roles this morning here. I'm playing a straight man, which is fine because I happen to like women. I don't know what they're peeking at. Go to the Lenzic Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. to find out. And here's something for you. That same night, there's a lecture by Eric Hanstad. Actually, it's at noon Wednesday called Displaying Disorder and Constructing Chaos, a State Ethnography of the Thai Police. Must be a political discussion.
Oh, right. Yeah. I heard about this.
Over at the School for American Research Administration Building on Garcia Street, no charge.
Which is now called the School for Advanced Research. They changed their name.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. American research would be too broad.
Right. They wouldn't be doing the Thai police if it were only American research.
This is good.
Ladies and gentlemen, 428-1393. Hey, you know what we forgot to tell people?
Can't imagine.
They can get an autographed picture. We actually sold two of them last year for $35, an autographed picture of you and me.
Does that mean I have to sign it?
Yes.
All right.
You have to autograph it.
Well, I'll do that too. Meanwhile, Showcase Karaoke is at 8:30 p.m. Thursday at Tiny's. When's the last time you did karaoke?
I've never done karaoke, Robert.
You and I should go and do it, and then we can come on
here
and talk about it.
Yeah, but you sing better than I do.
No, I don't.
The only thing I can sing is songs to my dogs, which, believe me, nobody wants to hear.
And I can
except
sing,
for the dogs.
We've grown accustomed to your voice. We love you every single morning. I hope that people give you money so you'll stay on the air to prove that Santa Fe really does care. We've grown accustomed to your love, accustomed to your voice, accustomed to Mary Charlotte. You be good, lady.
You be good, too, Robert Knott. Thank you for that serenade. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know you.
We are on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at the email radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Thanks to all the phone volunteers and to Richard Block and everybody who's participating in this fundraiser. And most of all, to you, the listener, who is supporting us. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta with the very charming and handsome Ricardo Perez.
Yeah.
And in the middle hour, Helga Ancona. So, guess who I've got on Monday on the radio?
I haven't got a clue.
Jeremy Scahill.
Whoa.
Who wrote this book called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. And we actually recorded it a couple days ago, but we are airing it on Monday. And on Tuesday, Chris Hedges, whom I recorded yesterday, a very long interview. We're going to play, you know, as much of it as we can, about his new book called American Fascists, which is about the Christian right and its war on America. That's what the book is called. And so all of that and much, much more here on Santa Fe Public Radio, KSFR. If you have not called yet, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time to do it. Just join metaphorical hands with everybody else in this community who is giving to this really terrific, if I may say so, public radio station, KSFR. The number is 428-1393, 428-1393. You can get a gift when you give, but the biggest gift of all is public radio itself. I hope you like it. I hope you like this show. I hope if you're listening to this show and you like it, and I hope if you're listening to the show and you like it, and if you like Robert,
uh-oh,
as I do,
oh boy,
that you will call 428-1393 and make a contribution in his honor. And if you make a contribution in his honor, tell our phone volunteers that it's in Robert Knott's honor. 428-1393. Be happy, be peaceful, have a wonderful weekend, and call us now. 428-1393. Mwah.